From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo discussed defense cooperation with Papua New Guinea Prime Minister. Indonesian minister mentions importance of data to tackle poverty at the UN. Gaza civil defense says 15 killed in Israel's strike on Gaza school. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received an official state visit from Papua New Guinea Prime Minister James Marape on Monday at the Bogor Palace in West Java. In a joint statement with Prime Minister James Marape, President Joko Widodo said the meeting discussed bilateral cooperation and a defense cooperation agreement currently in force to strengthen the security of Indonesia and Papua New Guinea.
Terkait kerjasama bilateral, berlakunya perjanjian kerjasama pertahanan sangat penting untuk memperkuat keamanan kedua negara.
Regarding bilateral cooperation, the enactment of the Defense Cooperation Agreement is critical to strengthen the two countries' security. Indonesia also welcomes the second joint business forum and the signing of two MOUs for cross-border land passengers and goods transport, which are important for improving the economy and strengthening relations between residents at the border. President Joko Widodo also expressed the importance of continuing discussions on the preferential trade agreement to increase trade between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. He also conveyed the need to renew the health cooperation agreement and sign educational cooperation to strengthen collaboration between the two countries. Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs, Tri Risma Hari Ini, emphasized the importance of accurate data and use of technology in poverty alleviation programs at a high-level political forum on sustainable development at the United Nations headquarters in New York, United States. As reported by Detikom on Monday, Minister Risma explained that the integrated data on social welfare in Indonesia is updated by regional governments at least once every month. This makes it easier to design the right solution to reduce family expenses and increase people's income. In the forum, Risma also explained various initiatives the Indonesian government has taken through her ministry in the last 3 years, such as free food for the elders and social assistance. The initiative involved multi-stakeholders, customary people, religious communities, alumni association, the media, and state officials. Deputy spokesperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly MPR, Yandri Susanto, viewed this year's Hajj pilgrimage as an improvement over previous year. As reported by Antara in a statement received in Jakarta on Sunday, Susanto did not witness any abandonment of overcrowding of pilgrims in Musdalifah, unlike last year. Susanto of the government-aligned National Mandate Party emphasized that ensuring a smooth-running Hajj pilgrimage is never easy, especially since the number of Indonesians participating this year is the highest. Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs, collaborating with the country's Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, to bolster religious moderation in higher education. As reported by Antara News Agency, it is being realized through the 2024 Religious Moderation Workshop and Seminar scheduled from July 17 to 19 in Jakarta. Head of the Research Development and Training Agency at the Minister of Religious Affairs, Amin Suyitno, underlined on Sunday that religious moderation is a mandate of the National Medium-Term Development Plan and requires support from all elements within university. Indonesian government is committed to providing regular voluntary contribution to help Palestine amounting to $1.2 million annually. According to a statement from the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs on Sunday, assistance is provided to support the United Nations Work and Recovery Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, UNRWA. The commitment was announced in the Indonesian government national statement delivered at the UNRWA Promise Conference on Friday at the United Nations headquarters in New York, United States. Let's move on to the international news, where the Civil Defense Agency in the Gaza Strip, Palestine, said on Sunday that 15 people were killed in a strike on school sheltering war displays. As reported by AFP, the strike on the United Nations-run Abu Araban site in central Gaza's Nuseirat camp was the fifth on a school-turned-shelter in 8 days. Civil Defense Agency spokesman Mahmoud Basal told the Abu Araban school was housing thousands of displaced people, and most of the dead were women and children. Schools in Nuseirat were the target for two of the earlier school strikes as Israel kept up its offensive against the Hamas military wing, which triggered the war with their October 7 attack on Israel. Israel claims Hamas uses schools, hospitals, and other public infrastructure for military purposes, and Hamas denies the accusation. China's National Bureau of Statistics on Monday said the country's second quarter GDP rose 4.7% year-on-year, missing expectation of 5.1% growth, according to Reuters poll as reported by CNBC. Industrial productions, however, beat expectation by 5.3% in June from a year ago, higher than Reuters' estimate of 5% growth. The National Bureau of Statistics did not hold a press conference for the data release. However, in an English-language press release, the Bureau said they must work harder to invigorate the market and stimulate the internal impetus. It also called for efforts to consolidate and enhance the momentum for economic recovery and growth to ensure the sustained and sound development of the country's economy. China's high-level policy meeting, the third plenum, kicks off this Monday and is set up to wrap up Thursday. Listener, let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on awaiting for world's reaction to Israel's attack on Gaza refugee camp. I'm Dalat Pale. Again, Israel bombed Gaza on Saturday. The bomb was aimed at Al-Mawasi Khan Younis, southern Gaza, which ironically was referred to by Israel as a safe haven for refugees in May. Al-Mawasi is a refugee camp for hundreds of thousands of Gazans, but the area is now in ruins because of Israel's so-called the worst atrocity in the history of war. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, at least some 90 people were killed, and half of them were women and children. The numbers yet to include 300 wounded victims. UNRWA UNRWA Commissioner General Felipe Wajarini said Al-Mawasi was a 14-kilometer square sanded agricultural land without roads and buildings, which was used for refugees. However, the claim that people in Gaza can move into a safe zone is wrong. Israel mentioned the Saturday attack was aimed for Hamas official Mohammed Deif and Rafah Salaman. However, there was no report about the two after the attack. Meanwhile, an indirect talk between Israel and Hamas has been ongoing for months, mediated by Qatar, the U.S., and Egypt. But agreement for ceasefire and hostage release is still far away. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu kept urging that any agreement must support Israel in achieving the goal of the war, namely destroying Hamas and bringing the hostages home. Meanwhile, U.S. President Joe Biden has explained the 6-week ceasefire to release the Israeli hostages and exchange them with the Palestinian people detained in Israel prisons. The ceasefire will be followed by another negotiation to end the war completely. On Saturday, a Hamas official, Bassem Naim, said Netanyahu is the person who holds up the agreement. He therefore asked Biden to pressure Israel to reach the agreement. The attack in Al-Mawasi was condemned by many. Indonesia, through the Foreign Affairs Minister, condemned Israel's repetitive brutality and no hesitation in attacking refugee camps. The attack showed the repeating law violation by Israel, with the excuse of avenging Hamas attack on October 7, 2023. The world must take real action to make Israel responsible for theirs. Doesn't the international law, a reference for all nations on the planet, apply for everyone without exception? That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Begin today in history with an event on July 15, 1916, when Boeing Aircraft Company founded. On July 15, 1916, world-renowned aircraft manufacturer Boeing was founded under the name Pacific Aero Products Co. in Seattle, United States. Boeing was founded by William Edward Boeing, a lumber businessman who was passionate about aviation. In 1917, Pacific Aero Products Corporation changed its name to Boeing Airplane Company. The company designs, manufactures, and sells aircrafts, rotorcraft, rockets, and satellites. When the United States entered World War I in 1917, Boeing was awarded its major contract to produce trainer aircraft for the U.S. Navy, the Model C airplane. This was a major breakthrough that solidified Boeing's position in aviation industry. In 2015, Boeing recorded sales of $96.11 billion, ranked 27 on Fortune magazine Fortune's 500 list, 19 on the Fortune Global 500 list, and 27 on the World Most Admired Companies list. Let's move on to the next event in 1946, when Australia handed over Eastern Indonesia to the Netherlands. Australia handed over eastern Indonesia back to the Netherlands on July 15, 1946. Thus, the Dutch government, Nika, regained eastern Indonesia de jure and de facto. Immediately after this handover, the Nika government, led by Deputy Governor General Van Mook, held the Malino Conference on July 15 to July 25, 1946 in Malino City, South Sulawesi. This conference was attended by 39 people from 15 regions from Kalimantan and the Great East, the Groot Oos, with the aim of discussing plans for the formation of federated states in Indonesia, as well as plans for the formation of state-covering areas in eastern Indonesia. In the conference chaired by Governor General of the Dutch East Indies, Van Mook, a general government commissariat for Kalimantan and the Greater East was established, headed by Dr. W. Hovind, also appointed as extraordinary members of the Council of Heads of Department for State Affairs were Sukawati, Najamuddin, Dengah, Tahya, Dr. Lim Chai Lee, Ibrahim Sadar. The regulation for the formation of the state were decided at the next conference in Denpasar, Bali. We entered in history with an event in 1974 when Cyprus coup installed Nikos Sampson as president. On July 15, 1974, the Greek military junta and the Cypriot National Guard supported a Greek Cypriot military coup in Cyprus. Nikos Sampson, who was pro-Enosis, replaced President Makarios as the new president. The Greek Cypriot coupists proclaimed the establishment of the Hellenic Republic of Cyprus. Turkey claimed that under the 1960 Treaty of Guarantee, the coup was sufficient grounds for military action to protect the Turkish Cypriot population. On this basis, Turkey invaded Cyprus on July 20.
Jaga barat kau jadi apiku, senyap menyala di radar hatiku. Wahai cinta, beri pertanda, dengar kupu-kupu yang bicara, bisingkan dada, melantunkan nada. Asmara, anaikan cinta, setangkai bunga, takkan buat kau layu dan kecewa. Kan ku jaga indah hatinya. Cinta, beri pertanda, bisingkan dada, melantunkan nada. Asmara, andai cinta setangkai bunga, takkan buat kecewa. Oh, kan ku jaga indah hatinya. Kan ku jaga indah hatinya.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on President Joko Widodo shocked and saddened by Trump shooting incident. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his shock over the shooting of former U.S. President Donald Trump during a campaign in Pennsylvania, United States, last Saturday, July the 13th. Through his social media account, at Jokowi on Sunday, President Joko Widodo said he was also saddened by the shooting incident against former President Donald Trump. He stressed that all forms of violence cannot be justified in democratic life around the world. He also wished Trump a speedy recovery. Condemnation of the shooting of Donald Trump was also expressed by the chairman of Commission 1 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Mutia Hafid, as quoted by dpr.go.id in her statement on July 14th, Mutia Hafid said that she strongly condemned the shooting of the former president of the United States who was running again for the presidency of the Republican Party. According to Mutia Hafid, political violence that threatens democracy cannot be tolerated in any form. Mutia Hafid believes that the shooting against Trump can be a reflective moment to always respect differences of opinion in democracy. She also said the shooting incident against Trump was a moment to remind all parties to continue to respect the democratic system and the existence of differences of opinion. Trump was declared safe after a shot was fired at him, hitting him in the ear while the shooter was killed by the Secret Service. In a statement on Sunday, the FBI identified 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks of Battle Park, Pennsylvania, as the shooter of former U.S. President Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, on July the 13th. That was My Indonesia.
Ku tak habis pikir, kurangku di mana. Kau tega melepaskan aku. Jauh ku menatap, namun terlalu jauh. Imajinasiku terberat. Terdiam aku, beku tanpamu. Di manakah letak hatimu? Kau putuskan untuk mendua dengan dia di belakangku, padahal cinta terakhir.
jadi cinta terakhir.
Kau putuskan untuk mendua dengan dia di belakangku. Padahal ku pilih kamu jadi cinta terakhir. Jadi cinta terakhir.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Well, listeners, welcome back to today's episode of Indonesian Wonder. Today's episode, we are going to talk about Amparan Tatak from Kalimantan. Listener, Indonesia has a wide variety of traditional cakes in each region. Each region has its own unique traditional cake. From Kalimantan, there is a traditional wet cake called Amparan Tatak. This food is specialty of the Banjar people. Amparan Tatak cake has spread to various regions where many Banjar tribes live, such as in central Kalimantan, East Kalimantan to Tembilahan in Riau. Amparan Tatak cake is made from rice flour, coconut milk, sugar, and bananas. The name Amparan Tatak comes from the shape of this cake when served. During the making process, the dough is placed into a container in the form of a large round pan. When it is cooked, the cake is served in the form of an overlay with banana leaves and is tatak or cut when served. Amparan Tatak cake, which is both savory and sweet, is one of the most sought after snacks during Ramadan. That is sought after during the months of Ramadan. In ancient times, Amparan Tatak cake was served to the nobility of the Banjar and Daha kingdoms. However, today this cake can be enjoyed by anyone and is usually present during major events by the Banjar tribe. This food can be found in traditional markets in Kalimantan. Amparan Tatak is usually made in large pan and cut into several pieces. The price of this cake per piece is priced at 5,000 Indonesian rupiahs. That's Indonesian Wonder. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
semua yang tak punya malu mengalir meskipun terancam surut. Lalu kakimu melangkah ke rumahku setengah melirik mencoba rayu. Apa yang kau inginkan dari senyumku ya Tuhan? Gemar sekali kau lukiskan bintang untukku. Sungguh lihai tanganmu menata kembali hati yang hampir mati. Kan ku letakkan hangga di tengah dekat kita. Bisikan cinta membuatku terlena ke dalam pesona sukma yang begitu indah. Apa yang kau inginkan dari senyumku ya Tuhan? Oh, gemar sekali kau lukiskan bintang.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bali. Di Bali, which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about kalau tidak dilindungi. Kalau tidak dilindungi, which means if left unprotected. Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a staff member at the Sea Turtle Conservatory. The staff told Chris about the impact if the sea turtles are left unprotected. Let's listen to their conversation.
Di Pulau Serangan ini ada 3 jenis penyu yang dikonservasi, yaitu penyu hijau, penyu sisik, dan penyu lekang.
Mengapa penyu-penyu itu dikonservasi?
Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini terganggu.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Kalau tidak dilindungi. Kalau tidak dilindungi, which means if left unprotected. I will say it twice and you can repeat after me. Kalau, kalau, which means if. Penyu, penyu, which means sea turtle. Dikonservasi, dikonservasi, which means being conserved. Kehidupan, kehidupan, which means life. Terumbu karang, terumbu karang, which means coral reef. Terganggu, terganggu, which means disturbed. Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Which means, if the sea turtle are not conserved, the life of coral reefs would be disturbed. Pulau Serangan, which means Serangan Island. Tiga jenis, which means three kinds. Penyu hijau, which means green sea turtle. Penyu sisik, which means hawksbill sea turtle. Penyu lekang, which means Olive Ridley sea turtle. In this conversation, you hear the expression kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu, which means if the sea turtle are not conserved, the life of coral reef will be disturbed. In the expression, there is the conditional conjunction kalau, kalau, which means if. It connects the clause penyu-penyu tidak dikonservasi. Penyu-penyu tidak dikonservasi, which means the sea turtle are not conserved. And the clause kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu, which means the life of coral reefs will be disturbed. The first clause mentioning sea turtles is the condition or cause, while the second clause mentioning coral reef is the result of consequences. The two clauses are connected with the word kalau, kalau, which means if. Another example, let's listen another use of conditional conjunction kalau, kalau, which means if. Kalau kekurangan makanan, tukik akan memangsa tukik lain. Kalau kekurangan makanan, tukik akan memangsa tukik lain, which means if they lack of food, the turtle will prey each other. Kalau kamu datang terlambat, kamu akan tertinggal pesawat. Kalau kamu datang terlambat, kamu akan tertinggal pesawat. Which means if you come late, you will be late for the flight. For your information, in Indonesian, there are several animals similar to penyu. Penyu, which means sea turtle. They are kura-kura. Kura-kura, which means tortoise. Bulus. Bulus, which means Asiatic soft-shell turtle. And labi-labi. Labi-labi, which means soft-shell turtle. Kura-kura. Kura-kura, which means tortoise, has legs and lives in land and water. While bulus, bulus, and labi-labi, labi-labi, which means soft-shell turtle, have flipper for legs and a soft shell and live in a freshwater. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Di Pulau Serangan ini ada 3 jenis penyu yang dikonservasi, yaitu penyu hijau, penyu sisik, dan penyu lekang.
Mengapa penyu-penyu itu dikonservasi?
Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini terganggu.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today is about kalau tidak dilindungi. Kalau tidak dilindungi, which means if left unprotected. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who wants to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Saja ku menangis sebelum kau. tak hanyalah manusia yang terluka, terbiasa untuk pura-pura tertawa. Namun malaikat sekali saja ku menangis, ku tak ingin lagi membohongi diri. Ku ingin belajar menerima diri.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Ayah Ibu by Keroncong Muda Saputra featuring Ulfa Supujo. The song, composed and popularized by Karna Mereka Band, was released on September 22, 2022. This song tells about the point of view of a child who is now an adult. He finally realizes how hard a father's struggle is, as well as the love and blessing of a mother. So he hopes someday he can repay it. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Muda Saputra featuring Ulfa Supojo with the keroncong song Ayah Ibu. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.